searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go. 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 This the way to go.
You are now listening to The Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Turn me up just a little bit. A steward is simply a servant. As the people of God, we are God's stewards. Furthermore, a steward, when you consider scripture, can also be a minister, a preacher, someone who is responsible for serving the gospel. More so, a steward, young people, is someone who would be considered like a manager or a treasurer of things that are distributed to them. I told you last week, and I want to say again, that as young men and young women, especially as you grow into adulthood, we must learn how to be good stewards in life, but especially good stewards of our time, good stewards when it comes to people and money. I said something last week that I listened to in the message, and it was just so true, and I want to reiterate it. We don't want to spend so much time in God, but still don't know how to be productive in life. You want to be productive, not just in the church, but in every aspect of your life. Want to be a good steward of my time, of people, and of money. Right? Now, our two verses, Jesus reveals a steward, or talks about a steward that we need to learn from. Okay? He talks about a steward that we need to learn from. In the text, the rich man is checking to see if he has a wasteful steward. Wants to see if the person that he has in position that's responsible for all of his goods, if he's taking care of business. And our God is the same way. He does not want us to live this life and waste it away. God does not desire you to waste away your life as a young person. So the rich man wants to know, is his steward being wasteful? And occasionally we need to look at our own life and see, am I being wasteful? Someone who is wasteful, someone who misuses something. You're not using your time wisely or properly. You're not using your money properly. You're not using your mind, your mouth properly. You're misusing what God has given you. Got a car, but misusing it. Got a phone, but misusing it. In a relationship, but not managing it properly. Married, but misusing your spouse. Misusing your child. When a person wastes, they squander. They mismanage, or just bringing it on home, they're in a position but they blowing it. There are so many young folk, they have so many talents, abilities, but they blow it on that dumb stuff. Just wasting away their potential. And see, we don't want to blow it in life, young folk. You don't want to have all that athletic ability and you blow it. All that book smart and you blow it. Parents got means and they do things for you and you don't want for nothing, but you blow it. And so we have to make sure, young folk, that we don't blow it in life. We don't waste our potential and other things that God gives us. Now, I've got to be honest. I have been guilty of being a waster in times past. How many can look at your life and say, yeah, I've wasted some things in my life? And let me go and just put my hand up and agree that I've been there. And either you've been there or you're there right now. Look at somebody and say, don't waste your life away. God bless you to go to school, and then you get to the school and waste it away. You flunk out. Not because you can't do the work. You just don't want to get out of bed. Don't want to go to class. You got the scholarship, but waste it away. Okay? Let's look at some truths about being wasteful. Boy, this hit home with me. Y'all are in such prime positions to be young and in God, but don't waste it. All right, let's go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Y'all with me? All right. Let me build this little foundation. Proverbs 18 and verse number 9. Proverbs 18 and verse number 9. I got it. Y'all ready? He who is slothful or lazy in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer, or the King James Version says, waster. A lazy person is a great waster. Lazy. Lazy. Could have got an A, but just lazy. Spent and wasted a whole lot of time playing video games. Could have been on the team and starting, but you wasted it away. Didn't want to put in the work. Could have had more money, but you wanted to just spend it all on some clothes. You just wasted it away. Could have went on vacation, but you spent the money on something stupid. Just wasted it away. You didn't need no another phone. Your phone was working perfect. Taking good pictures, connecting when you needed it. But what do? You just go and get another phone, didn't even need it. You just wasted that money. It's sad, but so many young people don't want to work. Lord have mercy. Man, they're giving jobs away. They paying folk to come work. Look, we'll give you a bonus if you just come work. But it's sad. We in a day and time, folk just lazy, man. You got to have some hustle. You got to have some self-motivation in life. It's going to come a point to where you're not going to always have mama trying to get you to do what needs to be done. You got to know how to motivate yourself in life. You got to have some hustle. You got to know how to make some money on your own and sometimes not be dependent on other folk or a job. Look at somebody and say, you got to have some hustle. Yeah, you can't be lazy. There's some grass out there that can be cut. Yeah, it's some babies out there that can be sat or babysitting, however you want to say it. But it's some money out there. You just can't be lazy. Can't be lazy. Yeah, the teacher will help you pull your grade up, but you got to say, look, I'm not going to hang out today doing nothing. I'm going to go in here after school, see this teacher, and help get my grade brought up. You can't be lazy. Look at somebody and say, you got to put in the work. Yeah, you got to put in that work. Faith without works is dead. Don't be lazy, young folk. Don't be lazy. Get up, learn how to cook, make your own breakfast. You're almost 20-something and want somebody to cook you some breakfast. You better get up, learn how to fry egg, make some cereal, make some homemade biscuit. Well, that's advanced level. At least know how to do some Hungry Jack. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what Hungry Jack is? And with all these videos they got now on social media, it ain't no excuse on not how to cook. We used to have cookbooks. Y'all know what a cookbook is? Y'all ain't got cookbooks. They got these one-minute videos. Put some paprika, salt, this, and mix it up. And they show you the picture. I'll be like, man, there's no excuse. Just can't be lazy. Can't be lazy. Learn how to grocery shop, brothers. Take 2 hours out your day and just go with mama one time. And let her teach you how to shop for your own groceries. Look at somebody say, you got to put in that work. God don't like lazy folk. I said, God don't like lazy folk. Y'all ever read Matthew in 25, chapter 25? Y'all need to check that out in your own spare time. The Lord told a parable about a man who gave three different men some talents. 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. The one with 2 and 5, they went out and put in some work and they doubled the amount of money that the master had gave them. But the last one who had one talent, he didn't do nothing. He went and hid his talent. He didn't put in no work. And look what the Lord said about him in Matthew 25 and 26. The servant was called wicked and lazy because he hid his talent instead of being productive. One thing we do not need, let me talk to the brothers, is a lazy man. Don't be no lazy man. Don't be no bum. Don't be the type of man that's dependent on mama or a woman to do certain things in your life. You have to be to the point as a man where you say, you know what, I'm a man. Let me get out here and put in this work. Even if somebody I'm with make more money than me, I'm still a man and I'm not going to be lazy. For years, my wife made more money than me. But I still went to work. Yeah. And had some jobs and did some things that I did not like. But I knew a man needs to work. Need to work. But we in this day and time with some men, they feel like, nah, I don't do that. That's above me. I don't do that. Is you crazy? If you ain't working, do something until you can get to where you want and desire to be. Lord have mercy. Look at somebody and say, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Let's go to Proverbs 18. Well, we already in Proverbs 18. Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke. Again, we're talking about truths about waste. Y'all with me? All right. Got a quiet audience. Luke 15, 13. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there, help me, wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Waste happens, young folks, when you disconnect from the Father. That's what this young man did. He went to his father and said, give me all my inheritance, and I'm out. Went to a far country and wasted away everything that he had inherited. One of the lessons of the story is, when you and I, if we choose to disconnect from God, that's when your life gonna start going downhill. You're gonna waste away. You disconnect with God, and watch how you start being depressed all the time. You disconnect from God, young folk, in prayer, and watch how you start becoming weak. You disconnect and stop bringing God his tithe and his offering, and you'll go from being blessed to cursed. You got to make sure, above all, the one person you do not disconnect from is your God. Friends gonna come and go. But one person you want to make sure that you keep at the head of your life is Jesus. Don't lose your connection. Your talents will only take you so far. Your abilities will only take you so far. But see, God gives his people, he crowns them with favor. When I'm connected with God, thank God for my talents and ability, but I got favor on my life. I got something that my talents and abilities cannot get done for me. I need the favor of God. What about you? I need the blessing of God. So I got to make sure I stay connected to him. Make sure I stay in his house. Make sure I stay in prayer. Make sure I'm a true worshiper. I don't want to lose my connection, because if I do, young folk, listen, you can still gain the whole world, but still lose your soul. Don't lose your connection with God for nobody. Nobody. Look at somebody say nobody. Look at my notes. Our potential and prosperity is linked to our relationship with the Lord. Our potential. That's how I reach my fullest potential. The purpose that God has placed you and I here on this earth, I fulfill my purpose as long as I stay in the will of God. As long as I stay connected to God's prophet, if I obey God's prophet, I'm going to prosper. And so that's me being connected to God indirectly when I'm staying connected to his prophet. I'm not going to waste away. But soon as you start disconnecting, know this, corruption gonna sink in, and you'll start wasting away your life. That's why I like to tell young people and adults, no matter what you go through in life, make sure you stay in God. Yeah, you're gonna make mistakes, but make sure you stay in God. Y'all understand? All right. Let's go to Proverbs 29. Now, this one's gonna be a little bit more touchy. Y'all learn it? All right, don't want you to waste your life away. Verse 3 of Proverbs 29:29-3. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice. Father being a pastor, because wisdom equates knowledge and understanding. Yeah, I'm a happy pastor when I see God's young people putting that word into action. But look what he says. But a companion of harlots waste his wealth. A companion of harlots. When someone associates with someone that is sinful or unhealthy, you waste your wealth. Remember, it's a proverb. Unhealthy pleasures, young people, cause you to waste away your wealth. Your anointing, that's valuable. Your relationship with God, that's valuable. The things that God blesses you with, that's valuable. Certain people in your life that God has placed in your life, that's valuable. but unhealthy associations, sinful associations, can cause you to waste that away, cause you to blow it, cause you to lose it. Are y'all with me? Let me give you some examples of some unhealthy and sinful pleasures that can cause you to waste away money, anointing, salvation, and so forth, things that are valuable. Too much junk food. Too much junk food. See, now we're talking natural. Always eating fast food. Always drinking Coke, Pepsi. That stuff is unhealthy. I'm not telling you, look, I can't drink it at all. I mean, enjoy certain things. But you got to know that that stuff is primarily sugar, and fast food is primarily processed food. And too much of it, young folk, will mess you up. Got to eat some vegetables every now and then, often. Drink water, often. Put that tea down. Get you some water. Well, I got to put some flavor in. No, God didn't make it like that. Just get you some straight up water. Your body is primarily made of water. You don't want to dehydrate. Keep giving yourself a whole bunch of salt and sugar. Boy, I ain't getting too much help on this one right here. Porn in the strip clubs. That stuff is unhealthy, whether you single or married. It's just fantasy. I said it's fantasy, it's perverted fantasy. And so you can't allow yourself at a young age, as a young woman or a young man, to get hooked on that stuff. Hooked on porn, and you 12 years old, 18 years old, 9 years old on porn. So you got to have the mindset, sex is good. God created it. But this is perverted. And I don't need to get caught up in it. Gambling, young folk, is unhealthy. Yeah, the man, the Chiefs on today, I got $100 on the line. Yeah, I'll make some money back. That's unhealthy. That's coveting. But these are things that's pushed to our young people. You always seeing these commercials and ads for sports betting and gambling. That stuff is unhealthy. They're going to give you these commercials, and then at the very small print, they talk about don't be compulsive and all this stuff. But it's just crazy. Smoking and drugs, doing all kind of stuff like that, that's unhealthy. You waste a lot of money getting high. And you're killing yourself. I mean, just volunteer. You paying to kill yourself. You're going to go buy cigarettes, but cigarettes kill you. Buy alcohol, but alcohol shrivel up your liver. Vape is more addictive than tobacco. It's killing you. So you have to see these things. They may bring some pleasure, but you have to realize if you associate with them, it's going to cause you to waste away. Y'all got it? According to the verse, the rich man required his steward to give account of his stewardship, or he would suffer loss. He wanted him to give an explanation or an answer. Show me what you've been doing. And see, as many of you are preparing to enter into teenage years, some of you are preparing to leave your parents' home, some of you are on your own, it's important that you learn, look, I got to be a good steward so I don't blow it in line. Especially young people when it comes, today I want to talk about from a financial standpoint. Money is just a very important part of life. And sadly, schools do not teach young people how to be stewards of money. They just don't do it. Got all these economic classes we take, but don't teach you about taxes, how to make money, start a business, things of this nature. They just don't teach it. Am I right about it? Yeah, they don't teach it. And then you graduate from high school, college, and you know what 2x plus p equals, but don't even know how to fill out a tax form. And it's just sad. And so today I want to give you four traits. There's a whole bunch that we need to know, but I'm going to give you four things today that young people, young adults, and even some adults need to know when it comes to being a good steward concerning money, so you are not a wasteful steward. See, if we're going to be faith walkers, faith is just not about spiritual things. Faith also has to do with how we are stewards over the things that God gives us in this life. I don't just want to be a faith walker when it comes to how to pray. I want to be a faith walker in every aspect. Are y'all with me? Now, the world would say, look, you need financial literacy. That's their wording. But bottom line, the Bible says we need to be good stewards. We need to be faithful stewards, wise stewards. And the antithesis of that is what we're learning today, not a wasteful steward. Are y'all with me? All right, so let's look at these traits. All right. Let's start out in Ecclesiastes 7:1. Now, this is going to be some good stuff for our high school, college, and beyond, but this is going to be great foundational material for some of our middle school students. All right? So let's start in Ecclesiastes 7:1. And again, we're looking at four traits to avoid being a wasteful steward. And when I'm done, it's going to be an acronym. And you'll be able to remember this for years if you pay attention and apply it. All right? All right. Ecclesiastes 7:1. Read it with me. When I pause or when I drop it, you pick it up. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now, that second part we have to deal with later, but let's look at this first part. A good name is better than precious ointment. When it comes to avoiding being a wasteful steward, when we consider Ecclesiastes 7:1, young people, we need to carry a good name. One way in society that your name is measured is by what is called a credit report. And so when it comes to not being a wasteful steward, young people, we need to establish and keep good credit. Say that with me. Say establish and keep good credit. That's it. Because your credit history is attached to your name. Are y'all following me? Listen, the world system uses what is called a credit report to determine what you can and cannot have in life. Sadly, that's what they do. They use a credit report to determine your credit worthiness. If they will loan you money and they believe you'll pay it back, and in some instances, they use the credit report to say you can have this and you cannot have that. I don't believe that God's people should base their life around a credit report. If God said I can have a thing, whether I got good credit or shot credit, whose report am I going to believe? I'm going to believe God's report. Because I'm going to tell you something, young folk. God has given me things when my credit report was bad. But then God has given me things when my credit report was good, and I didn't even have to use my credit. I was denied over 15 times for a house. My credit was shot. But because I stood on God's word, he blessed me with a house at a good interest rate. Y'all with me? Credit was shot, but he still blessed me. But then I got some houses to where my credit was A+, but didn't even use the credit to get it. Didn't even have to get one credit report pulled, but God still blessed me with the house, and I own it. So whether your report is good or bad, if you stand on God's word, he'll still bless you. But listen, young folk, you start out having average or no credit. That don't mean you still need to jack it up. Okay? Just because we in God, that don't mean we need to have bad credit. And so you starting out at 17, 18, 21, 22, you need to have the mindset, I need to have a good name. I need to have good credit as a child of God. Now, I'm not going to live by it because I live by faith, but I still need to have good credit. Y'all with me? Listen, do not mess up your credit trying to keep up with everyone else or getting things on your own. See, you can have good credit and think just because you got good credit, well, I'm going to go get it because I got good credit. But the key is you get things because God told you to. Whether your credit good or whether it's bad, the sons of God are led by God. Are y'all still with me? But what I want to teach young people is, look, you starting out at 18, 17, have the mindset, I need to, as a child of God, have a good name. Okay? Now, y'all ahead of the game because society will tell you when you're around 21, 22, you need to start establishing your credit then. But see, then you already behind the ball, so to speak, because around 21 or 22, if you went to school, you should be done by then. You start at 17 or 18, and you spend 4 years in school. By the time you graduate, you're 21, 22. And if you don't have a vehicle, you're looking to go get one, right? But so you go to look to get one, then they tell you you ain't got no credit. You be like, God, no. You know, what's been going on? Because, see, you can start establishing your credit at 18. Okay? So at 18, now you need to talk with your parents and so forth. You know I can't publicly, since we record, and give you financial advice. That's why we're going to have group discussion in a minute. But there are some things you can do at a young age to start establishing your credit. So by the time you get 20, by the time you get 21, you already got A+ credit. So you don't want to get on that dumb stuff. When you go get a phone, that's dealing with your credit because they want that Social Security number. And so if you every month you flipping phones and doing different stuff, you got to be careful. Y'all hear me? Or you decide, well, I ain't going to pay it. I don't care. It's just a phone. All right. Y'all hear me? So you want to have the mindset, I don't want to be a wasteful steward. I got this good name. I want to have a good name in the church and out. outside the church. And so when we have this group discussion in a minute, I'm going to share with you some things that you can consider and go from there. All right? Let me say this on this note right here about messing up your credit, getting stuff. Most folk, man, just don't graduate from high school and just jump and just start buying stuff. You just want to take your time. Stuff gonna be there, young folk. Matter of fact, if you let time go on, they gonna be upgrading stuff. So just take your don't be deceived by what you seeing on social media. Some of this stuff you see on social media, them folk, they pushing it, they don't even own it. Or some of it ain't even real. So you just take your time. Don't be in no hurry. So the first thing we need to understand is I need to establish and keep good credit. Let's move on. Proverbs 24 and verse number 4. Are y'all still with me? All right. Look at this. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with, help me, all precious and pleasant riches. Y'all didn't read that like that was a good verse. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So what is Solomon saying? I can have some good stuff in my house if I have what? What's the key to having rich things? There you go. What do I want you to see in this text, young people? Not only should you establish and keep good credit, you should have the mindset to obtain assets. He doesn't use the word asset, but an asset is something of value. We should possess valuable things as the people of God. If I'm going to have me some clothes, it's going to be something of value. If I'm going to have jewelry, it's going to be jewelry of value. If I'm going to get a car, it's going to be a car of value. I'm just not going to get a whole bunch of junk. I'm going to obtain assets. Say that word. Say assets. That's right. I love this verse. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant assets. No, I'm sorry, riches. Where does knowledge come from? God will give us shepherds that will feed us with knowledge. And so if I receive what's coming forth from God's shepherd, it's going to help me obtain assets. As a faith walker, we don't accept the mindset that we fake it till we make it. You don't say, I fake it till I make it. No, I'm going to possess the land. If I'm willing and obedient, I'll possess the land. God going to make sure I got some good stuff. I don't fake it till I make it. No, when it's my season, God going to give me what he promised. As God's young people, you don't have that mentality. Well, I'm just going to fake it till I make it. This ain't no real LV purse, so I'm just going to fake it till I make it. No, it's a way you can get a real one. By knowledge. Well, I'm just going to get this fake belt buckle and, you know, I'm going to fake it till. No. It's a way you can get the real one. By knowledge. God gave Solomon riches because he desired knowledge. And you find that over in 2 Chronicles 1 and 11. God gave him more riches than any man ever because he desired divine knowledge. See, when you hear these people tell you the richest man in the world is the owner of Amazon and the owner of this, they lying. No, the richest man, of course, Jesus, but naturally also Solomon. When you read that verse, historians say what he had was worth, in our day and time, over $2 trillion. $2 trillion. And that's not even including him being a king where people would bring him money every year. They would just bring him money. Y'all need to check out, matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles 1, I'm going to talk about it later. Let me not get ahead of myself. Lord have mercy. What are some assets? Are y'all still with me? All right, a profitable business. If you start your own business and you start making money from it, I don't care if you're cutting grass. If you got 30 yards and they're paying you $60 a yard, you got an asset. If you got a shoe collection that you paid $2,000 for, but the shoe collection is worth $7,000, guess what you got? An asset. If you got jewelry that you purchased and you bought it for $4,000 but is worth $15,000, guess what you got? An asset. How many are picking up on this? You can be in high school and you do hair. All you do is braid hair and you got 10 girls' hair you do every month. And they bring you $200 each. Guess what you got? An asset. That's an asset. Okay? Real estate. Y'all hearing a lot about cryptocurrency. Stocks in companies. These can be considered assets. And you need to know about it. Real estate. Jewelry. Digital properties. You can buy a domain name for $20 and somebody buy it from you for $2,000. That domain name, you know, like shutup.com, something like that. That can be considered and y'all looking at me like I'm from another planet. Are y'all with me? Y'all understand? Another way we can avoid, so we talked about establishing and having good credit, obtaining assets, having a savings account, having a savings. Lord have mercy. Look at somebody say, you got to have a savings. Yeah. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, you sluggard, you lazy person. Consider her ways and be wise. You know, one thing an ant does, an ant knows how to get some things and bring it back to the colony and leave it there for a whole season. Bishop did a teaching years ago that's still with me. He talked about how you need to have an ant hole. That's what ants do. They go and get a piece of bread that you dropped in the yard. They'll just get that bread and they'll take it back to the colony and they'll just hold it until the wintertime. They'll save it. Young people, you need to have a good savings. Especially if you get this mindset now. I'm not telling you not to enjoy your money, but don't spend it all. Put some in an ant hole. Even if you're starting with a dollar, start there. You want to get to the point, young people, where you're putting back 20% of whatever you bring in. So if you got a job and that job bring you in $500, you want to get to the point to where you at least putting 20% of that $500 in a savings. You may not start out with 20, but at least put 20% back. So that would be $100. Every time you get that $500, you putting back $100. Now you think about it. You 17, you start working at 17, you get you a part-time job, and you got the mindset of saving. And you saying, look, I'm just going to stay here until God tell me to leave. And if that's between 23 and 25 years old, you got about 5, 6, 7 years. And just imagine for 7 years, you consistently putting money away. 7 years, you constantly just putting money away. When you get ready to leave, you ain't leaving broke. You got you $15,000. Because I'm going to tell you something. To live life, it costs money. Okay? To live life, it costs money. you at home and all your parents are making you responsible for is, look, I want you to pay this right here every month. Don't gripe about it, because that is nothing compared to what you have to pay when you're on your own. Don't gripe about it. Don't gripe. Pay that little tax, but also have the mindset that I'm going to be putting some back. Because mama, daddy, when I do leave, I'm going to be sitting right. I'm going to be sitting right. $15,000, $20,000, young folk, is a good head start. And most young people don't have that when they leave. But you imagine at 15, 17, or even if you're 19 and you just start putting back right now. You don't touch it. If you're married or on your own as a single person, you want to be to the point to where you have at least 3 months of savings of expenses. Add up all your expenses, car note, insurance, rent if you pay it, all your bills, add it up and multiply it times 3. You at least want your savings to be that amount right there. So what if they decide to lock down the country again? Hey, you got 3 months saved up. You got 3 months plus saved up. Y'all with me? So you want to have some type of savings. And you don't try to, once you get that savings and start looking good, you don't dip into it. Don't mess with it. Well, let me go ahead and dip in this savings and go do such and such and such and such. You just want to leave it there and let God tell you to do something with it that's going to cause it to multiply. Or if he tell you to do something with it, you know he going to put it back. Are y'all with me? Yeah. So you want to be a young person. They got money. I counseled this one couple. They were in their 20s. And one of them had been living with their, well, both of them had been living with their parents for years. But they were working full time. And one of the young people, they didn't have a savings, you know. Still good folk, had the mindset, but they had a lot going on. But the other one had been putting money back, specifically saving for when they got married. And, man, by the time they got married, this young person was to the point to where they had well over $25,000. All they were doing was just working, coming home, living with their parents, and just putting back money, putting it back. See, that's how you want to be. Whether you going to plan to get married or you plan to move out on your own, you want to have you savings. Are y'all with me? And especially if your parents bless you with a car and you don't have to pay no car note. If you don't have to pay no car note, you need to have a mindset to where, man, they giving me a car? Let me just go ahead and take what I would have been paying for this car and just double up and put that back. See, if mom and daddy going to bless you with a car because you doing right, you take advantage of that, young folk. You take advantage of that. You say, look, I ain't got to spend $300 on no car. Instead of me just going out buying a whole bunch of shoes every month, let me take that extra $300. And since I got a car, let me just put it back. Boy, I wish my parents would have gave me a car. Establish and keep what? Good credit. Obtain what? Assets. Have a savings. Finally, let's conclude in Mark 10. Mark 10. I want y'all to have this mindset so you're not a wasteful steward. Is this helping anybody? All right, we're going further. Maybe it's helping two folk. All right. Mark 10, 29 and verse 30. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. Verse 30, who shall not receive, help me, 100-fold when you get to heaven. When does it say? Now. That's the key word. 100-fold when? Now in this time. Then he break it down. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, See, if folk leave you because you get saved, that's okay. God gonna make sure you have some folk to hang with. Children and land, but this is the key, with persecution in this age to come and eternal life. What do I want you to see, young folk? You need to have the mindset to have home ownership. Home ownership. That needs to be your mindset. Because you're going to pay a little bit more for an apartment than you would for your own house. Plus, an apartment landlord every year or every other year, guess what they're going to do to your rent? They're going to raise it. And when you do move out, you ain't going to have nothing to show for it. Now, sometimes renting can have its benefits. If you're going to be the type of young person, look, I want to live in this city for 2 years. Then I want to live in that city for a year. And I want to live, then that's understandable. But the primary thing Jesus wanted us to see was his folk owned houses and land. Why? Because it's valuable. It goes up in value. When you buy a car, the car value goes down. But when you buy property, even if ain't nothing on it, guess what it's doing? You made money when you bought it. When you leave the church today, you look across the street, it's empty lots. But guess what they worth? They worth money. And every year that goes by, it just goes up in value. So you want to have the mindset of ownership, young people. Own your own stuff. You want your name on it. Home owner ownership. That was Jesus' mindset, and that should be our mindset. Lord have mercy. It ain't popular, but how many are seeing it? Y'all see the acronym? CASH. Establishing and keeping what? Good credit. Obtaining what? Assets or buying assets. Come on. Having a what? Savings. And home ownership. If I do these, I can avoid wasting my stewardship. How many got it? By show of hands. Y'all got it? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the lesson. Boy, y'all should.